All right, well, it does come that time for our speaker, and we have a fan favorite of ours. Some of you know him, some of you don't. He said, how long have you been in class, Dan? He's been coming to Millie's classes for a while. And
99.
Okay.
Gosh, 12.
Yeah, for a while. But, you know, he always has some insight about the Bible, and he studied the Bible, so he can always bring it into light with, you know, what's going on in today's world and how does it really relate and bring those stories in here. So it's always a treat to have Dan. So let's give a big warm welcome for Dan.
So it's always so much fun to share with you, and somebody asked if I prepare, and I do, and then I always have to say, but I never know what's going to really come out of my mouth. There's kind of this energy that goes, and so much of it is part of you because of the energy that you give, and I just think there's something very magical that goes on. You know, I was trying to formulate what I wanted to talk about, and one of my mentors is a guy in his 30s. His name is Brian Johnson. Brian started a series called The Philosopher's Notes, and he goes through dozens and dozens and dozens of books, and he takes the big ideas. And so rather than reading these treatises of these long, involved, philosophical people, he takes these ideas and he encapsulates them into, you know, 5, 10, 20-minute segments, kind of in bite-sized format. And so I was up in Wyoming. I went to visit my mother. And on the way back, I'm listening to Brian Johnson's Philosopher's Notes. And so I haven't even read the entire book, The New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, but I listened to the Philosopher's Notes and the big ideas. And I thought to myself, you know, it seems like different speakers have different themes, and they kind of say the same thing over and over from just a little bit different of an angle. But there's kind of a theme. Eckhart Tolle is that way. And I think I'm probably that way. You know, you just say it in different words and with different illustrations and so on and so forth. And I think that as human beings, we need to be reminded of some of the essential truths. And as many of you know that have known me a little bit over the years, I did go to Bible school. I was raised as an Episcopalian. My dad didn't believe. My mom thought we should go to church, and I believed that what you're supposed to do. You know, I prayed, and I had wanted to do right. And then when I was 16, there's a speaker, he said that Jesus had a plan for your life. He loves you. Open your heart to him. Take the journey with him. It was called the born again thing, which got really, you know, people messed up with that. It became something else later, but it was a real experience, and I'll never look back with anything but as a very positive feeling about it. And so then I went to Bible school. And then I started to learn what a particular school of people were saying, how you should believe. And some of it was wonderful. Some of it was just fantastic stuff to learn. Some of it didn't really feel quite right. Some of it I didn't quite understand. It seemed like there were maybe a lot more rules than I signed up for. And I thought, well, okay. And there was a period of my life where, you know, you tried to keep the rules, and you're trying to keep this form that's on the outside. And there was this kind of this notion that within Christianity, you've got some very strict, I guess they'd be on the right side, very strict Baptist-y sort of people. And then you go across the spectrum to more of the Pentecostals. And so the Baptists were, you do, you do, you do. And the Pentecostals were, blah, praise the Lord. And so there's this mix. And I actually had this experience across the range. But for a period of time, I was probably more in the Baptist-y kind of a thing. And one of the notions was that if you say this prayer and you say the right words, and you have to have the words right, because if you don't have the words right, it doesn't count. That I accept Jesus in my heart, and you say it in this particular order. Now, I'm exaggerating, but I think some of you know it if you know some fundamentalist types of people. And I have many friends that are that way, and I love them. They're some of the finest people on the planet. But for me, in my experience, I discovered over time that people, they come to God in their own timing, in their own way, in their own circumstance. And a friend of mine who was raised Pennsylvania Baptist, man, he was taught from an early age, and he had all the language down, and a good friend of mine. And over the last 10 years, I've been trying to break down the words. It's maybe a little bit different, that the original meaning had something to say that was a little bit different than what he had heard from his mother and his pastor in the 1950s. He's really old. He's like 68. Oh, this is being recorded. I don't think he'll listen to it, but I won't say his name. And so the notion was that if you live this good Christian life and you accepted Jesus in your heart, that you would go to this place called heaven. And then the idea was that after you died, you didn't have to fear death because you were going to this place called heaven. Does that ring a bell? Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Well, Eckhart Tolle wrote this book, The Power of Now, but then The New Earth. And he talks about this idea of consciousness. And the idea is really very different than that other idea that heaven is a place that you go to. Heaven is an experience that you emanate from the inside of your being today, now. You'll never do it yesterday, and you'll never do it tomorrow. You can only do it in the moment that you live. It's not a place that you go to. And so there's kind of a common thread through Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity. In Hinduism, there's a word that's called Maya, and it's called the veiled delusion. In Buddhism, there's this word called dukkha, and it has the connotation of suffering, of misery, of kind of that place of being stuck on the potter's wheel. Like the wheel quit going around and you're stuck, okay? And then in Christianity, you get rid of all of the cultural baggage, and it literally means missing the mark, like the archer misses the bullseye. Or you're broad jumping the Grand Canyon, and you might make it 10, 20 feet, but you miss the other side. You fall short. And in fact, where's Matt? I want to do that little example here in a minute. And so, sometime back, I was talking, and I wanted to explain this concept of sin. Because, you know, you get this stuff, you know, there was a time when I thought it was, you don't drink and you don't dance and you don't go with girls that do. And I thought, man, that's a bummer. I didn't sign up for this stuff. Because I like to drink and dance, and I like to go with girls that do. You know, that's part of life. And I like to drink red wine and occasionally have a good steak and live life. Okay, you get the point. So I'm just standing up here talking, and I'm thinking, you know, it's about this idea of not living in the past, which is sin, not living in the future, the anxiety of the future, or living in the future, but being in the present. And I remember sitting here and looking at this outlet. And I says, you know, it's like plugging the light into the outlet. So go ahead and turn off the lights. I want to just, okay. When you're unplugged, you're in sin. The electricity isn't alive. So I got this lamp from my mother. She's downsizing, and it's the coolest lamp. And so when you touch God, when you're present, when you're surrendered, when you're listening, this is what happens. The light goes on. To be truly conscious is to be truly alive, is to have the light on. You can't do that if you're worried about yesterday. You can't do it if you're worried about what somebody else's narrative or somebody else's opinion about you is. You can't do it if you're attached to an outcome. This is being alive. That's being dead in sin. I think that's a, I just love that example because it's so real. There's this feeling, I'm alive, lights up. Okay, Matt. So when Eckhart Tolle talks about this idea of being conscious, it's far less about all of your doctrine. And I know this. I studied theology. I mean, I'm talking thousands, if not 10,000s of hours over the last 40 years. Man, I've studied stuff. And there were periods of my life in my 20s and 30 where, you know, I'm thinking, okay, I want to get this right, and I want to do better, and I want to learn it, and I want to memorize the verse. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't translate into being present and like grabbing the finger of God and holding his hand and the light goes on, you're unconscious. You're living in sin. Okay? So you see these in these various traditions, lights on, electricity, lights off, kind of this voidness. So the four areas I want to talk to you about. One is consciousness that we just talked about. The other one is suffering. And then I want to talk about this thing called the pain body that Eckhart Tolle goes in. And then enthusiasm. This whole idea in life. I'm going through my notes. I'm cheating here. Okay, here we go. The question that comes up is how do we transform ourselves into this conscious place? Well, number one, it's about being present. But the other part of it is about detachment from the roles that you play in life. Have you ever thought about why people get unhappy? It's usually because they're attached to this idea that they have of who they are, whether it be in their job, in their relationship, with their spouse, with their kids, with their community, whatever it is. They're attached to this role that they're playing. And Eckhart Tolle says, you know what? Detach from it. Because your role is not you. When you go to work and it's, you know, role's fine, but if things go badly and you're in this unhappy place, just take a moment, breathe, become very present, step back and detach and look at yourself as kind of this out-of-body experience. Go, wow, in that role, I'm not happy. Or these things are happening. But you separate yourself from the role that you play in life. And I think that you'll find that you'll be able to get to this place of consciousness. In Christian scriptures, it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So when I put the idea of the pain body, how many people have heard that concept? Okay, maybe you should be telling me because I just read this and learned it. The notion, the pains that are in our body, I see it as a holistic, multi-cause thing. And as a disclaimer, it's not all spiritual. It's largely spiritual, but a lot of it's physical. And some of you and me have pains in our body because of a lack of exercise, our stupid eating habits, and our obsession with food. Comfort. And our body, it rejects it. And we get dis-ease in our body. And so we get disease because we don't treat our bodies, which the Bible talks about as being the temple of the Holy Spirit, that you should take care of it. You should take care of it. But now let's go on the other side of it, on the spiritual side of it. Wayne Dyer talks in one of his talks about an author, and I forget the guy's name, about memes, M-E-M-E. And a meme is a thought. Do you know that word?
I just love that. It's meme, meme.
Yeah, meme. And the idea is that when we're bombarded in a culture that says, you're not enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not this enough, you're not that enough, and there's this narrative that's being pushed on you, and these thoughts come into your consciousness, and you think, oh, God, I'm not this and I'm not that. And you allow that thought literally to attach to your body. And it's one of the major causes of depression because you don't meet somebody else's standard for you. And I know I'm seeing people nod. You get what I'm saying. If all of us face it, you know, we walk tall and fake it till you make it and I'm cool. But the truth is, we all go through these cycles. And, you know, before I went, I got in the shower and I went, how's my hair? I should have done it this way. And, you know, how am I doing here? Okay. I get it. There's a balance to this whole thing. But the long and short is that if you keep eating the same food and keep getting sick, quit eating the food. If you're accepting this information in, as food into your soul and it's making you depressed, quit it. When the thought comes, put it out there and go, talk to the thought. Just be very honest with yourself. God, I'm feeling... Sometimes it's even hard to figure out what you're feeling. But I think that when we get into that reflective mode and we get before our quiet, and I like to do it in kind of a yoga sort of a fashion, it gets my body more aligned and whatnot. But all of a sudden, when my mind starts to clear of this clutter, I feel better. And I, you know, I'm a Virgo, and I'm an obsessive thinker. It's a blessing and it's a curse. And it's one thing as you create your life and you create your goals and whatnot to think through the issues that you've got to deal with. And you might even think through them 2, 3, 4, 10 times to really get it down. But there's a point. We gotta let it go. You can't be thinking about it 24 hours a day for 4 weeks and obsessing on it, because then it becomes delusional. And guess what? Oftentimes you get anxious, you get depressed, because you're holding on to these thoughts that you don't need to deal with until you get to the bridge. I've got some challenges that I shared a few months ago, and I know that in front of me there's a couple of bridges I'm gonna have to face. But the really cool thing is 85% of the time, maybe, give or take, I'm like, I'll deal with them when I get to the bridge. I have to deal with these things right now and then detach, enjoy, be conscious, realize that God has this fantastic thing called life. He wants us to be one with life. He wants us to enjoy people around us. He wants us to utilize our gifts and our talents to serve other people, to encourage them, to counteract the narratives that we so often get bombarded with, that we're not enough, we're not this enough, we're not that enough. But as spiritual people, we look at people on the inside and wherever they're at. And I think Millie is probably the greatest example. Woman loves you regardless, wherever you are. Far more patient than I am. Really, she is. And I just think that we need to be very, and I've talked about this before, the old Apostle Paul said, listen, take captive every thought. Every thought that comes into your field, your consciousness, take every thought captive. Capture the thought to the obedience of Christ. And Christ says that he loves you. He's created this bridge. He's created the electricity that all you have to do is come to this present moment and look up and have this communion with the living God. So this idea of the pain body is often unresolved emotional stuff that didn't fully get realized or get dealt with. And I think if we all, and we, you know, most, a lot of times, I think the majority of people who go to church realize that they've been, you know, beat up and they've been kind of dinged on. And it's like they're coming to heal. And so that a lot of times this whole idea of therapy is going back and saying, capturing your power back. Going back to that place where, gosh, you know, when so-and-so said this, that happened 14 years ago and I'm still thinking about it. Or it happened 3 years ago. Or it happened when I was six and I was a little kid and something happened to me and it shouldn't have, and I've been messed up ever since. And so now is the time as an adult where you can go into that special conscious place, and as an adult, as a fully capable adult, go back to that place when you're 6 years old and stand up to that person that did that bad thing and say, no, you're not going to do that. You take your power back. And then you bring it into the present. Whenever that thought comes in, you say, I've dealt with it. And you don't let it come into your field of thought, into your frame. And so, you know, the notion, there's a lot of people that are in situations that they don't like to be in. And here's the thing. If you're in a situation, a pattern that you don't like, either remove yourself from the situation or change the situation. And if you can't do either of those things, reinterpret it and accept it, and then look for the opportunity to either change it or get away from it. But remove yourself from the role. So you say, this is just something that I'm going through right now, and have a perspective about it so that you're constantly looking for the door that God's going to open up for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Then finally, I love what Brian Johnson says. It may have been Eckhart Tolle. He says, be an alchemist. Does anybody know what alchemy is? You take two different things and you put them together. It's like baking, and all of a sudden it becomes something different. He says, be an alchemist. Change your consciousness and change your thoughts, and watch how things transform in your world. Change your consciousness. Be present. Don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Be present. Change your thoughts and start to focus. And just see how that starts to change your world. Okay, I just love that deal. And then finally, and I'll close with this. They talk about the idea of enthusiasm. And I hadn't heard this in a long time, but the word enthusiasm literally means being possessed by the gods. Isn't that the coolest idea? And so when they say be enthusiastic, it's like get possessed in a good way. Get in this place where the Holy Spirit can come into you and you can be in this present place, and you can treat people and extol them and lift them up and be totally self-sufficient outside of other people's narrative of you. Be enthusiastic. And it brings me, it reminds me of that verse in Ephesians that I love so much. It's in Ephesians 1, the pretext is basically it says that God chose you before the foundation of the world. He redeemed you by the very blood of his son himself to create a bridge back to heaven for an inheritance, a full inheritance with a down payment. They call it the wedding ring, the engagement ring of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for this reason, because God did all those things, he says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Okay, this is the God with the, you know, the axiom has a thousand cattle on a thousand hills. Infinite. He's infinite. According to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power, the word dunamis, dynamite, through his spirit in the inner man, that whole place of consciousness. So it's funny because some of my Baptist friends, they get real worried if you start talking about this idea that we're gods and goddesses. And I get what they're saying. And I, for me, yeah, I think we are gods and goddesses, but we're contained within the whole. It's like if you take a cup of water and you go down to the river and you take a cup of the water out of the river, well, you don't have all the river in that particular cup, but all the elements in that cup are in the river. God's the river, we're the cup. We have the dynamic power of the living God that lives within us. And not only are we capable, we're triumphant, and if we fall down, doesn't matter, we just get up. And the truth of the matter is, one of the reasons why we suffer and we go through difficult times, it's like the ancient goldsmith would take gold and then they would put it in this crucible and they would fire it up to some degree and all of the impurities of the gold would rise to the surface. Then the goldsmith would take this kind of ladle thing and scoop off the impurities, throw them out, and he would know if it was pure gold if he looked down into it and he would see a pure reflection of his face. So when God allows us to go through these things, it's the perfect trial or test to see how attached we are to things. And guess what? If you're being tried and something's really like, you might want to begin this idea of non-attachment. And for those of you, some of you were here, but I got busted for code violations. And this is kind of a, it's not a funny story, it's a true story. And so I stand up here ever so religious and I got busted. I bootlegged a little studio on and I have code violations and I'm in the middle of this thing. And for 2 months I was freaking out thinking I might lose my house. And then, because I didn't have the knowledge of really what the process was. And it could be pretty serious. But I had to get to this point where my beloved villa by the beach in Encinitas, I might have to give it up. I might have to sell it and go someplace. And that wasn't easy. And then I thought, well, gosh. And I started to think of all the possibilities of what life would be like. And I thought, well, I could do this and I could do that. And I started to kind of think, I could do that. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't think so. But could I do it? I think I can do it now. And so I had to get shaken up because I was getting, you know, I was the old man in the routine and I had to get my world shaken up. I had to detach from some of the things that I held very dear to myself. You look at the life of Job and he went through all kinds of incredible trials. And he says, I will not curse God. He says, I know, and the God that made me, he can take me. I'm thankful for every breath that I have. And if you get reduced down to that, just realize that God is refining you for something greater in the future. It's the idea of surrender. And so he says, be strengthened with power in the inner man with this incredible dynamic power. And in closing, I just want to say to you guys, enjoy life. And I don't know how many people have the tendencies to whatever degree that I have. You know, I'm very driven to get stuff done. I love to create things. And I literally have, I think I owned 80 domain names at one time because I had ideas, you know. I had this idea, so I figured it's cost of a lunch. Hey, I might do this thing. I reserve the domain. And, you know, I'm working on one now that I'm pretty excited about, and I'm going to patent this, hopefully this week, provisional patents, and I'm excited. But I'm learning, finally, because I'm no spring chicken, I'm still 39 holding, that I get to just enjoy, and it doesn't matter if this thing is successful or it's not. It matters that I use the creative gift that God gave me, and I keep pushing, and I keep pushing. If the door is open, fantastic. If not, another door is going to open for me. But the most important thing is that as we go through life, that we're present and that we enjoy. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Be in that present, special place so that you can, your light can shine, so that in the darkness, the lamp goes on, people look at you, and there's something magnetic about you. So go out and be lights to the world. God bless you.
Oh, thank you, Dan. That was great. Now I know what I've been doing wrong with my prayers. I wasn't saying the right words. That explains everything growing up.